My name is David. I'm 40 years old. Today is December 7th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Janiza, who is my wife. We're recording this interview in Irvine, California. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I am Janiza.
Okay. Okay. So, the first question here is, how did we first meet and describe our relationship? We can get there.
Oh, when we first met. Well, we met at online, Pepper Meets Bagel. Back in 2015, right? Yes. 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not say hello.
Oh, what did I say?
You said, so I see you met my friend. Picture of me scuba diving with this sea turtle.
That's right. Right. So, piece of advice to all you guys out there, you know, try and be a little more interesting than everybody else. Would you want to describe our relationship?
Well, I actually thought that you were the male version of me.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would fall for somebody like me. I've always looked for guys who are opposite or different from me.
Well, what was it about me that made you think that I was like you?
A little bit vain.
Uh-huh.
Right, don't you think?
You're
a little bit vain. And
I don't know about that, but...
And you didn't, like... Well, you weren't offended easily. So
no.
Whenever I throw an insult or something, it's not really insulting, but something that I would say from that was honest, you weren't so defensive about it. Instead, you turn it around.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for me.
like that time when we went to the concert, right? And I asked you if you've heard, if you know one of those Korean stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you chuckled, you gave a chuckle, and you said you've heard plenty. Which one am I thinking of?
Yep.
And then I said two things. A wife beater, or controlling. And I think you were the latter.
Great. It's funny how it turns out that you're just talking about yourself. So 4 years of being married now, and or 3 years of being married and 4 years in relationship, we've discovered that anything that Janiza says about me is actually her talking about herself.
You're crazy.
That's why you like me.
But anyway, after being married, that's when we learned that we were so different.
Yeah, just like all people should be. Everybody's different. I don't know why you're so surprised. When we were dating and when we were engaged, I did think that we had a lot of differences, but in our core, like our core beliefs were still similar or the same, which is why I thought that it would be fine to marry you. If I believed otherwise, I would not have asked. Because the core beliefs to me are what's really important. Everybody has differences and everybody has different opinions about, you know, small things.
Do you know what lady? Lady is my sister.
Mm-hmm.
One of her concerns was because I've always wanted a guy who would hike, who was adventurous, who would be outdoorsy.
Yeah.
She was concerned that, you know, she asked me, do you really want to marry David or be with David? Because he's not as outdoorsy as you had been looking for. Would you get bored in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that.
Oh, you mentioned that she had concerns about me not wanting to travel.
And that, too. That, too.
Okay, well.
But look, you've been more outgoing being married than when you were single.
Well, that's not entirely true. When I was single, I had more free time, so I did go mountain biking quite a bit.
That's true.
I don't really enjoy camping, but I do like day trips into the mountains or into nature. That's fine by me. I just don't care for camping because it's so uncomfortable sleeping in a tent.
But that's because you probably didn't get the right stuff, the right gear.
Oh, goodness. So another issue that's come up over the past 3 years is that I would probably not buy a lot of the things that we buy. And we buy a lot of stuff now that we use once or twice and then have to put into storage.
Like what? We use a lot.
Okay. The baby bathtub.
That's because Landon is our second son. That's because Landon, you know, got big pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
We're going to use it for the new baby.
Uh-huh.
But can you believe it? It's already like, what, third? We're going to go on a third son.
In 3 years. In just 3 years.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Wait, we got married in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 4 years. It'll be 4 years. Because he's going to be born next year.
He's going to be born before our fourth anniversary.
Oh, you're right. That's true.
Yeah. Kids, if you're listening to this, know that we love you. But we truly did not expect to have you all three so quickly together.
You can blame Daddy for that.
No. There's no such thing as blaming as if it were some kind of mistake. It was not a mistake. It was just, we're unexpectedly fertile. And that's just the truth. You'll find out when you're much older that it's not actually quite so easy to have children. A lot of our friends at our age are not able to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And even those who do, some of them struggle with pregnancy and fertility.
Yeah.
God blessed us with unusual fertility.
Which we shouldn't be surprised.
Why? Because
it's a long time. We've been wanting to be. You've always wanted to be a father. I've always wanted to be a mother.
Yeah, but like.
And we got married at a later age.
Yeah, but people our age don't usually have children so easily. It's just a matter of fact.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But anyway, I guess that's a good segue into what we really wanted to talk about, which is how Joshua and Landon came into being. And if we still have time, maybe we can talk about the third son, who as of yet does not have a name. when did you first find out that you were going to be a parent?
Yeah.
Because you did this without me. Like, I didn't know until you told me.
The first one? With Joshua?
Hey, I didn't know until you told me.
You've always showed up whenever I would do the test.
No.
Okay, that's pregnancy brain then. I always thought, like, I always wanted to surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never surprise you because you'd find out.
Hmm. No, the first one, if I remember correctly, you took a pregnancy test in the morning, mm-hmm. and then you showed me that same morning.
Via phone?
No. Before I went to work.
Well, because, you know, I'm very regular.
Right. Well, this story's supposed to be for the kids, so let's keep it rated PG-13, please.
Anyway, so I kind of sense that, maybe I should get it checked. And so I did the test, and it was positive.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember you, that was That was the third time you took that pregnancy test.
Oh, wait. Yes,
for Joshua, it was first.
That's true. We were in our honeymoon. We were in Portland. We didn't know we were already.
But you didn't take a pregnancy test when we were there. No, you took it when we came back.
That's why I took it.
Okay.
That's why I took it, was because of, you know, what was happening in my period. Auntie Rose was supposed to come.
Okay. Somehow that's actually worse.
There you go.
Fine. Okay. So, I remember you taking a pregnancy test before we left, and it was not positive at that time, before we left.
Before we left, yes. Yeah.
And then we went to Portland on our honeymoon, which, by the way, we took a couple of months after we got married. Several months after we got married.
2 months. A little over 2 months.
A little over 2 months? Okay, yeah. And then after we got back is when we found out that you were pregnant.
Yes.
Okay, so how did you feel at that time?
Of course, very happy. Because prior to that, each time I had taken it, I wasn't pregnant because I was late. And then I wasn't pregnant. And I'll be like, oh. And then the reality of, like, the possibility of not being able to get pregnant easily came to mind.
Yeah.
So when I did see that I was pregnant, there was that relief.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I had stopped working.
Right.
Right? And so I thought, you know, if I'm not working, then it'll be nice to, it'll be a good time to be pregnant as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's skip ahead 9 months.
Yes.
Well,
not even 9 months. He wasn't even born.
Oh, that's right. So, Joshua, you were born a month early, if we haven't already told you. I'm sure Mommy's going to tell you at some point before you ever get a chance to listen to this, but here's a reminder. You were a month early.
But I was going into BSF, Bible Study Fellowship.
Yeah. Where was that exactly?
In St. Gabriel.
We lived where?
Redondo Beach.
And I told you what to do about that?
To stop. But it was twice a week because I was a small group leader. So I have a meeting, a training on a Monday night, and then Tuesday is the BSF night. So I was going twice a week, driving that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feeling, oh, I don't think I can come back the following week, which would have been the last week of the year.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about now
BSF.
A month before Joshua's due date, and now
so you were Tuesday night.
Yeah, you were quite pregnant, very very large, and then it was at least a 40-minute drive to and from to Alhambra, and even then you sometimes needed to pee on the way.
Yes, but I didn't want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Places, so I would hold my pee.
Awesome. So, like, I felt that this was unnecessary stress and work, but I was relieved that it was going to be done and full month before the expected due date. However, what happened that Tuesday night?
That Tuesday night, I was walking, I went home. You were already asleep, remember? Because I came home pretty late. Or you were falling asleep.
I think I was falling asleep. I do remember seeing you come home.
Yes. And then I laid down, and I felt like water came out of me. Now, this is my first pregnancy, so I don't know what to expect. And usually, if your water broke, after we learned from Lamar's class, you have to wait. You lay on your side and wait if the water keeps coming out, and that would be a sign of water broke. But I was in denial because I was like, you cannot come out now.
Mm-hmm.
No way. We're only 36 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We still have 4 more weeks to go. you cannot come out. So I was ignoring it. But the water was laying down and it was still coming out, and I kept changing my underwear, and I thought, oh no. Then instead of waking you up, I message my family through the messenger, and I said, I think my water broke. And then my dad said, go get it checked or call the doctor. And I said, yeah, I gotta go get the phone number. And then lady said, where's the phone number? And I said, it's in the filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. What? Never there. So why is it the phone number in the filing cabinet? I must go look for the keys to get the phone number. So mm-hmm. then I called the on-call doctor, and she thinks that my water broke.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me it doesn't hurt to just go get it checked if it is. And if it isn't, they'll send you back home.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's that still hope that they'll send me back home.
Yeah. When did you wake me up?
2-something. When I felt this 12:30-something.
So.
Doesn't that surprise you?
That doesn't really surprise me. So, for some context, we had not yet packed our hospital bag because we thought we still had time.
Mm-hmm.
We had fortunately taken a tour of the hospital in advance, so we knew where to go and what to do. But we did not have any of what normal people would say is all the stuff.
No, we didn't have crib. We didn't have...
No, we did have a crib.
No, we didn't have a crib.
We had a crib.
We only had the mattress.
No, we had a...
We never had the crib.
When did Peter Moon give us the crib?
Much after.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, yeah. We didn't have a crib, I guess.
Yeah. Because I didn't want a crib. We were living in an apartment.
Well, a crib wound up being very helpful.
He didn't really sleep in it. Until like 5 months, 6 months, only for a month or two, and then done. That was during nap time.
Well, anyway, we didn't have our stuff. And we had to go to the hospital immediately. And when we got there, if I remember correctly, we entered through the emergency room, who admitted us to the pregnancy triage or the maternity triage area. And then they tested for your fluid to see if it was the amniotic fluid that had come out. And what did they tell us?
It was.
But
then we had to stay.
Yeah. And but then they checked your dilation. And at the time, it was only like, what, two or three centimeters? Three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was approximately 3 a.m.
And they gave me steroids so that...
Right.
For Joshua's lungs.
Right.
To quickly...
Yeah. So, so 3 a.m. Then, about 15, 20 minutes later, they moved us into a delivery room.
Mm-hmm.
And, having been in a couple of several delivery rooms now, I have to say that the first one was actually the nicest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a bed. Right?
Yeah, it was quite large.
Mm-hmm.
The room was, and, there was a fold-out bed for Dad, which was me, which had a good view out the window.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Now, the view out of Hoag was better, but...
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
Because our room faced the ocean.
Yeah.
At Hoag, but for whatever reason, the view out of the hospital in Torrance, you know, was quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was just the room. They moved us in there, and then the pregnancy progressed quickly.
You remember they gave us, so eventually it was 6.5, and then I couldn't stand it anymore, so they gave me the epidural, but it took 20 minutes for the
Well, you're skipping a part of the story. We went from 3 centimeters at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
to, we knew you needed the epidural before we even went.
Yes.
You had said that you didn't want to do it.
Yes.
Like, if you could. And I had already decided in my mind, as soon as it's available, we're going to do it. She just doesn't know until it happens. So I had it in my mind to wait until about 5 or 6 centimeters and then get the epidural for you.
In Lamaze, it's 6 to 7 centimeters.
I planned to get it for you at 5 or 6 centimeters.
Oh, okay. So you were going to make it the decision.
I was going to make the decision. And then when we talked to the nurse and said, hey, is now a good time to think about the epidural, and she said, yeah, so I'll call the anesthesiologist and we'll...
No, she asked, that's when we said, okay, that's when I decided, let's go get it, because I was having a hard time resting, because it kept coming on, but mm-hmm. then it wasn't the sign yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, fine, let's go get it.
Yeah, but when I asked if now was a good time, she checked your centimeters, and we were very surprised to find that you were 6
mm-hmm.
after only about an hour of being in labor.
Well, no, I told her my pain. You know how they ask mm-hmm. for the pain degree, and then I said, okay, now that's a 7. Oh, no, 8. And she said, oh, hang on, let me check.
Yeah.
You might be 6, or you might be already there, and then that's when she said, oh, you're 6, and that's when we decided.
Mm-hmm. So, luckily, even though the anesthesiologist was delayed, he still got there in time to give you a good... epidural.
But then remember, it was only half of it. I could not feel anything on the left side, mm-hmm. but I felt things on the right.
Until he gave you a button.
And then I'm still feeling it.
Yeah.
One side of the body, and it felt weird. And that's when he pressed it again, the mm-hmm. dosage.
Yeah. And then it felt better, right?
Yes.
Okay. So after the epidural started taking effect, you fell asleep.
Yes, for 20 minutes.
Right.
Then I woke up. It was already 10 centimeters.
Mm-hmm. Time to push.
Yep.
So it was already time to push by, like, I don't know, 7:30 or 8 in the morning? Something like that.
We had to wait for 2 hours, and Joshua was born at 12-something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So 10-something.
But that's when the doctor got there, Dr. Ishimaru.
Yeah.
She got there at 10-something, and she said... I need to go deliver the baby in the other room.
Mm-hmm. Well, she asked if we could wait.
Yeah.
Because the other room, they didn't have an epidural, and she's already 9 centimeters. And
right.
I felt her pain. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
But we didn't know it was going to be 2 hours, and I'm sure she didn't know, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so...
So, Joshua, you could have been born much earlier.
Yeah. Much earlier, just a couple hours. That's not a big deal. We were fortunate, though, that the epidural stayed active. Because it's not supposed to go for too long.
Mm-hmm.
do you want to share about the difficulty?
When we gave birth, Joshua was fine, except for the placenta. It was supposed to come out naturally, it never did. And then that's when Dr. Ishimaru, when I saw her face, because she's always so calm and chill, but then when I saw that concerned face, and then she said, we only have 30-minute window, otherwise... We would lose out all this blood, and we had to go to the operating room. And that's when I prayed quietly in my heart to help her get it out. And she was going to call the anesthesiologist to kind of relax my uterus so that it'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the head nurse was the one who said, well, she can't feel anything still. Maybe you can try it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And she put her hand in me, and then I said, oh, it feels like it's another baby.
Yeah. And then... Dr. Ishimaru used her fingers to separate the placenta from the uterus mm-hmm. manually. Lucky.
Yeah. But Joshua, you were so small. So small. And it looked like daddy's face in a baby's body. I freaked out. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? And the nurse were so nice. They were like, position him, right? But I definitely, that feeling, I really felt like, what am I gonna do? I'm so not ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
that was nice.
Yeah.
And then it was really nice seeing him tuck inside you like a kangaroo pouch. He put it inside of his shirt because he was so small. And, you know, they do a lot of skin to skin, so you put it in your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That was cute. We still have a picture for that.
Yeah, I have a picture somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It
so
was very eventful.
Why don't we share the same story for Landon's birth?
Landon, you were sleeping too.
Was I sleeping again?
Yes.
We were a little more ready though this time.
Well, with Landon, again, because of my water broke, I didn't really know, you know, when to go.
Mm.
So I did ask Lady a lot, or like in the family, like, what do I do, what do I do? Is this a time, is this a time? And it has to be Lady, because she's the one who went through labor, Jess didn't.
Yeah. Well, this time we had already made arrangements.
Yes.
Because of the difficulty with Landon's pregnancy was different.
Yes. My fluid was going up and down.
The amniotic fluid.
And it's not supposed to be.
As this was not 1 month before birth. It was actually 2.5 months before birth.
No.
It
was 26 weeks.
3.5 months?
Oh, yeah, 26 weeks is when we went to the hospital.
So,
I had spotting.
Yeah.
But it stopped.
But I insisted that you go see the doctor immediately.
And that's when they saw that my fluid was low and immediately told me to go to Hogue straight
from
their doctor, from their office. And that was at Fountain Valley because it was on a Tuesday.
Right.
So told me, don't go home. Just go straight.
Where was Joshua at that time? He was with you.
Oh.
No, we didn't have Mariana yet.
Oh, that's right. I dropped him off at Sienna.
Sienna
is?
My sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went straight to the hospital, and I needed to go immediately from home. Oh, no, I was at work.
You were at work, yeah.
So I was at work, and I needed to go immediately.
To the hospital.
To go to the hospital and see what was going on.
It took a long time because of traffic.
Well, I had to take the train.
Oh, that's right. Which is supposed to be faster.
No, it's not faster, necessarily.
Hmm.
Anyway, I was still like 45 miles away, so
yeah.
No matter what, it was going to take a while.
Yeah.
And then, did I go pick up Joshua first? Or did I leave him there and then go to the hospital first? I don't remember. I must have gone to the hospital first.
You have to go to the hospital first.
Yeah.
We dropped off Joshua.
Yeah.
So you went. Yeah, we went to the hospital first.
You were already there.
They had already run all these tests.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just waiting for results.
Yeah. So I realized there wasn't anything I could do, so I went home
to
pick
up
Joshua.
So then you went
to
pick up Joshua. That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because I was driving the van that has the car seat.
Right.
So you had to go.
Did you have a van already?
Yeah, we had a van.
We had the minivan already?
Yeah, because Joshua was here. We got the van before his first birthday party.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. So, after that, after a couple of days you spent in the hospital,
2 days.
We decided that we needed a nanny,
yeah.
So we hired Mariana
mm-hmm.
about a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very fortunate in finding her because she wound up being very excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the actual birth.
Yes.
So that by
so
that
we
time
were
we
able
had
to carry Landon with the progesterone, the extra hormones.
Yeah. So the extra hormones stabilized the amniotic fluid at an acceptable level, and the pregnancy.
Well, no, the progesterone is not really the amniotic fluid because my amniotic fluid is going up and down.
It still went up and down after you started the progesterone?
It was still. Every week I had to go.
Yeah, they checked, and then it was never low, right? Again.
It wouldn't go below
it wouldn't
5,
go
but it would go 5. Then they'll tell me, oh, you got to, like, you know, drink lots to make
mm-hmm.
sure. Because if I had another 5 and another 5, then immediately it's hospital.
So, somehow we made it to
39 weeks. He came out 3 days before his due date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was bigger.
Yeah, so we had Mariana And then we already made arrangements with Louis to...
If anything, at night to come over.
Yeah.
She had a class.
Yeah.
So we had to make an arrangement with Sienna as well to take over for Mariana.
In the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. So that night when Landon decided to come.
Yeah.
It was labor, and I've never experienced that.
So real labor first, before labor the... First,
yes.
Before the amniotic fluid...
Before my water broke.
Yeah.
Actually, my water didn't even break.
Did it not?
Dr. Fan had to break it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
She had to go in. I didn't know that's what she was doing. It felt like an oil change. You know that oil change where you put that stick in it and you come out?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought she was measuring.
Uh-huh.
But that was actually the needle that she poked.
Yeah.
She used that to poke the water.
Yeah. So the Hogue delivery room looked the same as the Torrance Hospital.
But it's not as big.
Yeah, it was smaller.
Yeah.
And
the bed is not as comfy.
Yeah, the bed was not. In both beds, my bed and your bed.
Yes.
And we're going back there. And I have to say the security was much tighter at Hogue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's harder to get in. They have
the
locking door, and then they have a guard.
Oh, I see. But going back to Landon's, you know, I was, again, messaging my family because you were sleeping, and I wanted to give you more time to sleep.
Yeah, and just for future reference, you don't have to do that.
Because you had gone to work, and, you know, so I needed you to rest some more so that you can be alert.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we are in the hospital.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I did give you more time to sleep so that I was messaging my family. And then I said, oh, I think that's a contraction. And it was Lady who would time the messaging. Every time I messaged, that's when she said, Jen, you need to go in. If you want that epidural, you need to go in. Louis, you better drive now.
Yeah.
And then Louis said, when Lady said, if you want epidural, you better go. I said, oh, that's right. But it was so hard to go up the stairs. But this time I packed the bags.
Yeah, we had done that before.
Yes.
So we were a little more prepared the second time.
So I was like hard. And then Louie said she's never seen anybody in labor. She said I looked like a cow.
Yeah.
Going up. Because I was much bigger.
Yeah, you were much bigger.
Yeah.
So this third time, we don't have Mariana or Louie available or...
Well, third pregnancy.
Maybe Sienna can still help us some.
I don't know, but
I'm sure she can, like a little.
No, I meant like we still need. I think we're gonna end up needing Sue still, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
But either way.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Landon's birth.
Yeah.
He was pretty fast.
Yeah.
Dilated pretty fast.
Yeah. So that's a warning to us. This third one's probably going to be very
faster.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to happen to what the people that we know who just gave birth in the car.
Uh-huh. Or at home.
Or at home. That's right.
We were just talking about Rachel, and she she went into labor with her second child.
Yeah.
And called her husband. Husband took about an hour and a half to get home.
You know, I asked her about that. She actually called the nurses, and then the nurse told her, "Oh, it's okay, because you're still no, you're just probably just feeling. You might just relax." And Rachel was the one who said, I've been pregnant once. This is my second pregnancy. I know what contraction feels like, and I'm sure this is it. And he said, no, it's okay. It's okay. And then she went, it's too late. I gotta go. It's coming out now. And that's when she told her husband, it's coming out now. So the husband called it 911. So.
But even still, he had to deliver the baby.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was able to make it, at least to get the baby out.
Yep.
And
I don't want to have to do that at home.
At least they had it at home. I know somebody who had it in a car.
Yeah.
And in a car will be a little bit disgusting because that would be too dirty. But wow, don't you think we should have that?
No. No, we're not going to do that. So, with Landon's pregnancy or Landon's delivery, everything was faster, but we still managed to get the epidural.
Yes.
Which was important.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no complication with the placenta the second time. So he was all good.
Definitely a lot bigger.
Yeah.
They didn't record the weight properly.
Yeah.
They didn't write down that weight.
Yeah. That was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. And we were a lot more tired. You were a lot more tired.
Yeah.
See, this is why I let you sleep longer.
Yeah.
Imagine the third one. You probably won't even remember anything.
Yeah, it's good that we're recording this now because the memory is already starting to fade. And it was only a year ago. Okay. A little over a year ago.
Yep, 14 months ago.
By the way, Landon, if you're listening to this like when you're older, maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years old, right now, you don't sleep so well. You wake up every couple of hours at night and it's driving us bananas. So I hope by now, I hope by now when you're grown up, you know, you eat well and you sleep well, because right now it's not happening. And, you know, you make us wake up to take care of you, and it's very painful. Hope you appreciate it, boy. So, how has being a parent changed you, do you think? Like, personally, I don't think it changed you at all, but...
You don't think so? What do you mean?
No, I think it just makes everything that was in you already, like, closer to the surface.
You don't think I'm more loving?
That may be. But I know...
That already.
I know a bunch of other things that come out very easily now.
But let's look at the positive. What about the other positive things that I've had?
Like your OCD about stuff being clean a certain way.
Hygiene is important.
But it's a certain way for everything.
The dishes, boys. When you guys wash the dishes, you want to make sure the water is not collecting. Or else the next day, it's not dry yet.
Oh my.
That is not OCD. That's common sense.
What are your dreams for the children?
Definitely. Well, as a parent, I am more aware on how to raise them. Like, well, not aware. I pray for wisdom. And my job as a parent, as a mother, is to figure out what God has designed for them. So unlike you, who says they can play golf. I think they need to play golf. Golf will be good. I actually don't. I would look at them and see their interests and then go and try and like help them maneuver to that. So right now that's where I'm working on, in trying to find their strength and their weakness, and work on them.
It's not going to be golf, by the way. I've decided it'll be jujitsu.
Oh my goodness.
Both of them will learn. And the third one, too. Boys, all three of you need to take care of each other. So I'm going to take you to jujitsu classes so that, you know, nobody can bully you. The three of you work together, you can conquer anybody.
But no, remember you had said about how not to bully, like how not to get bullied.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not because you're going to send them to jiu-jitsu. It's deeper than that.
Well, the jiu-jitsu will help. So to avoid being bullied, essentially you have to have self-confidence.
Yes.
Because bullies pick on those people who are usually weaker or people who will not fight back or complain. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who get picked on. And usually bullies themselves are people who have been bullied and who get picked on usually at home. So you feel, those people feel a sense, they can sense who they can attack and who they need to stay away from. And strong people, therefore, do not get attacked. But the jiu-jitsu, if they stick with it, will develop self-confidence in them. Mm-hmm. And by self-confidence, I mean the confidence that comes from knowing that if somebody tries to hurt you or manipulate you or threaten you, mm-hmm. you're not helpless. Mm-hmm. You don't have fear. You understand how to defend yourself, and knowing that gives you the power to speak, mm-hmm. to fight, but fight back, not physically fight back, but verbally fight back or socially fight back. Use appropriate conduits of authority. In other words, you can tattletale on people and you don't feel fear and you don't feel like you've done something wrong. And I feel like jiu-jitsu or any kind of self-defense class.
See, this is why we're married, because you have a different take on that. Because self-confidence in my mind and how to raise them to be a self-confident being is to really figure out what are their strengths and their weakness and work on that.
So for boys, mm-hmm. it's my very strong belief that mental strength and physical strength yes. are linked. Mm. One cannot go without the other.
That's true.
For boys. Mm. For men. Mm-hmm. many men who are injured or have disabilities, they struggle with mm-hmm. this concept of I am a man and I am strong. Mm-hmm. If they cannot mm-hmm. perform physically.
Is that the same thing? I mean, did you feel confident then, like when I met you, because you were more buff? before you did the personal training?
So to be perfectly honest, there was a link between my physical strength and my self-confidence. Mm-hmm. But you should know that when I was younger, mm-hmm. in my 20s, I was actually physically stronger than I was when you met me. Mm-hmm. But I never gained weight. Mm. At the time, I was maybe 130, 135 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I was just as strong or stronger in my mid-20s mm-hmm. than when you met me, and I was 160 pounds mm-hmm. and 35. Mm. I was 36 at the time. Mm-hmm. What changed was just that I looked bigger.
Which you were very confident too.
It could be.
I mean, maybe that's why I was so drawn to you. It wasn't just the physical aspect of it. Hmm. I mean, yeah, you was physical too, because, you know, yeah. you really look different from the pictures that you had put up profile.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I was like, I mean, if you could see it, my mouth opened wide.
Well, we're running short on time now, but I don't mind hearing about how much you thought I was good looking.
You were very attractive. Would you like to end this then?
Well, I guess we should just kind of wrap it up because we don't have a lot of time left. So that was the story of Joshua's birth and Landon's birth. Landon's birth we kind of glossed over because it was more or less the same except faster. Mm-hmm. And now that we are looking at having a third child, I feel a little bit more prepared than last time. How do you feel?
Definitely. But, you know, again, there's that question of who would watch them.
Well,
but,
I mean,
you know, we'll see.
We'll figure it out, yeah. And that, I guess that's the real lesson, is like, no matter how much you plan, it's never exactly how you planned it out to be. Although, to have no plan, like we did the first time, is also
not the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, that was really unexpected.
Yeah, that really was. And in any case, it'll all work itself out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're such an expert now. You could probably just do the whole thing by yourself, and I can just stay home with the kids.
Oh. That's what you wanted to do.
No. I wouldn't send you there by yourself. I would. We could hire somebody to go with you. But that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. That's it.